Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Brother Gary, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the Bible study tonight, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come here and study your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we'll set aside the things of this world and pay attention to what's been said, Lord, and ask it to instill in our hearts and apply it to our lives in our daily walk. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, if you'll open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We went over some of this a little bit in Sunday school when we were talking about the cults and how none of the cults can understand these things, but we'll look into it a little more in depth this evening. And we're looking tonight into the seven mysteries for the church. The seven mysteries for the church. These are mysteries. And the reason they're called mysteries is because nobody can see it or understand it unless you're saved.
Amen.
They just can't. It's something that only by God's Spirit can it be revealed. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, right? If you're a minister of Christ, then what are you? And stewards of the mysteries of God. What is a true minister of Jesus Christ to be? He's to be a steward of the mysteries of God. What does that mean to be a steward? Well, on a plane they have they don't call them stewardesses anymore. Now they call them flight attendants, because they got a bunch of flamers on there now, and they didn't want to call them stewards because it didn't sound right on a plane, so, and they didn't want to call them stewardesses, even though they probably should have. So the only other alternative was to change the name to flight attendant, but you understand what a steward is, right? And or a stewardess, and what they do basically is tend to your needs. And as stewards, they have a watch care. See, they're the stewards on the plane or on a train or on a ship, the idea is they're tending to and taking watch care over certain areas of responsibility. As stewards of the mysteries of God, ministers are there to defend those mysteries, to protect those mysteries, to make sure that those mysteries are then taught to and revealed to the body of Christ so that all Christians will come to a complete understanding of those mysteries. And there are seven of them in the Pauline epistles, seven of them to the New Testament church today that are to be revealed to all Christians. Let me ask you a question. How long were you saved, and how many churches were you in, honestly, in the sight of God, before you found out that there were seven mysteries and what the seven mysteries were? Now, that being the case, that ought to tell you something. That ought to put up some red flags. If ministers are supposed to be the stewards of the mysteries of God, why don't all Christians know what the seven mysteries are? They should, see? I mean, if you're brand new saved, obviously you haven't had a chance to learn it, but if you've been in church for 3 or 4 years and you've never even heard what those mysteries are, that should be one of the basic fundamental ideals for every child of God to understand and know those things. So we'll be looking at those tonight and hope you get a kind of a clear understanding of those seven mysteries. So you can call them the seven mysteries, although they will not be mysteries to you. And if you're saved, God will reveal it to you, no problem. Now, he says in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be faithful to those mysteries as ministers to reveal those things. So I'm trying this evening to be a faithful minister. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We're speaking the wisdom of God, but it's a mystery. Why? It can only be revealed to the child of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God had it all figured out. He had this whole thing worked out. But who could see it in the Old Testament? Who in the Old Testament understood the body of Christ? Or the indwelling Christ? or that Jesus Christ would be manifest in the flesh. Why do you think Israel rejected him? What was their main problem? You're trying to say you're God. There's only one God, see? They couldn't get it. Same problem with the Muslims. That's the problem they have. There's only one God, and Muhammad is his prophet. You can't say Jesus was God. See, that's the problem. They have no idea, understanding of those mysteries, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by our intellect. No. God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. Now, how do you suppose God's Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, reveals the things of God to us? By the Word of God, which was given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the words, and then the Holy Spirit gives an understanding of the words to teach you what you need to know as a child of God. Verse 10, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Nothing wrong with searching out the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit does that. Amen. You ought to enjoy it if you got the Spirit in you. The Spirit rejoices in doing that, in revealing things to the child of God that the world could never see or understand. See, Wednesday night when I talked about that thing with Leah and the type of the church and showed you that, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit made that known to you where maybe you never saw that before. Did that do something in your heart? Did that bring it just... See, do you understand? That's where the Holy Spirit rejoices in taking those hidden things, those things that were already there in the Old Testament but couldn't be understood, couldn't be seen until after Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and sent down the Holy Ghost, sent with power from on high from heaven. And when the Holy Ghost is now here, and then when he saves you and comes in you, he can now begin to reveal these mysteries to the child of God. Verse 11, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And the things that God has freely given to us are revealed via a mystery. See? Remember back there where Jesus Christ came openly to Israel and began preaching and teaching and doing the miracles, and then they rejected him, they rejected the baptism of John, they said that Jesus Christ was the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And after that, beginning in Matthew 13, Jesus Christ begins to speak in parables. And they ask him, Lord, why are you speaking in parables? And to paraphrase, he simply said, so that they won't get saved, so they'll be damned, so they won't see, so that they won't understand. He does it on purpose. Why do you think God put the Bible together the way he did? Do you understand where every cult gets started? It gets started from the Bible. Your every great revelation ever given from God comes from? It comes from the Bible. It's all in there. It's a two-edged sword. It'll cut you coming or going. It'll damage you or it'll heal you. You see, it depends on how you approach it from the heart. And when you approach the Word of God humbly and say, God, I'm stupid, I don't know anything, reveal it to me by your Spirit, God can show you some things. When you go in there with pride and saying, well, I'm smart enough, I'll figure it out. Or if you go into it and say, now this is what I've determined, what I want the truth to be. Now let me go into the Bible and prove my thesis. See? And I'll find enough verses to support what I want to believe. Yeah, amen. Instead of saying, I don't know, I'm not sure, let me go to the Bible because I really want to know the truth. Now, does God know the heart of every person? Okay. So he knows when you come to the Bible, he knows what heart you're coming with. And if you're coming with humility and just a desire to hear from God, God can reveal everything to you you need to know. If you're coming in there with an agenda, if you're coming in there to find excuses, if you're coming in there with the wrong motive, God will give you that too. In the Bible. Why didn't God just put everything as far as salvation all together in one book and just lay it out nice and neat for us? He didn't do it that way, did he? Isn't that wild? You understand? He's put the book to... Why didn't he just give us a chronological account of everything in Jesus' life? Why put it in four different Gospels where you have to go back and forth and try and figure out what the big story is and what's going on? To study, to keep this in the Scriptures. Why? So that only by God, the power of God's Spirit, can those things truly be revealed. God did that on purpose so that we would have to rely and depend upon Him to show us the truth. And we do that by relying upon the Scriptures, see, and God's Spirit within us, and the one that's in us who wrote the book can teach us everything we need to know. Amen. And will reveal those things to us. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen? So God is the one that shows us those things. He gives us the discernment, the ability to judge between what's so and what is not so. Now, there are other mysteries in the Bible. All right? Look at Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I just kind of related to this here in Matthew 13, look in verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we talked about the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God last week, if you were here. The physical and the spiritual kingdoms. And basically what he's saying here, this has to do with the physical kingdoms, which we're not interested in. Right? We got the spiritual, not the physical. Love not the world, neither the things in the world, as the child of God today. But when Jesus was there presenting the kingdom to Israel, see, he made it available to them to receive it, but only if their hearts were right. Okay? And because their hearts weren't right, he said, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So those things are then being done also in mystery form. And then there's another mystery. Look over in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. I'm reading a book right now in preparation for our study on the cults called the Hyslop's Two Babylons. Read it a long time ago. I'm going through it again. Hyslop's Two Babylons basically presents and gives all the facts to show from the Babylonian religion that that thing goes back to Nimrod. And what you've got is basically a false religion that's been coming all the way through the Bible. And it's the same false religion all the way through. And it has to do with a man and his mother. See? And her husband. And Semiramis, see, and what was the other one? Horus and Isis, Horus, and Semiramis, IHS. That's what they print on the cookie that you eat that they call God in the Catholic Church. But it's a mystery. Who can see that? The world looks at the Roman Catholic Church and says, oh, that's the Christian Church. We don't. Say, how are they able to do that? How are they able to pawn themselves off as being a Christian church when they're so far off base from anything in the Bible? Simple. It's the devil's bride. So he blinds the world and gives her demonic protection. Amen. She has demonic protection that no other cult has. Listen, if any other cult had all their male leaders in the church raping little boys, they would have been done away with. And instead, it's the Catholic Church, so they just continue to propagate and prosper. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. There came on the seven angels which had seven vials, and talked to me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. It's inebriating. You know, when you get drunk, you'll do things you wouldn't normally do. You'll lose your ability to judge correctly. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. That's the Antichrist kingdom, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of all the false religions. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Who is she? Verse 18. She's a great city that sits on 7 hills. Amen. She's a great city, and she sits on 7 hills, verse 9. The city on 7 hills is Rome. Everybody knows that. So there she is. Say, what is it? It's the devil's bride. What is it? It's a church. But it's a mystery. Now, does Jesus Christ have a church? Is it a mystery? Listen, the devil counterfeits everything that Jesus Christ does. Is Jesus Christ the light of the world? So Satan appears as an angel of? Is Jesus Christ the lion of the tribe of Judah? So Satan walks about as a roaring? See? Is Jesus Christ the prince of this world? So the devil is the prince of this world. See? He's wanting to be God. So everything that Jesus Christ has done, he counterfeits. That thing goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. And you take it all the way through, and you've got Seth, and you've got Cain. And Cain's got his line, his genealogy, right? And Seth has his genealogy. You know who's in Seth's genealogy? Enoch. You know who Enoch is a picture of? The church. You know what happens to Enoch? He goes up. But there's another Enoch back there. The son of Cain. And he builds a city. You see how similar they are? When Jesus Christ makes an invitation to John there later on in Revelation and says, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know what he shows him? A city. But it's people, but it's a city. What are you looking at here? You're looking at a city, but it's people. What's the difference? We're a chaste virgin to Christ. What is she? A whore. The mother of harlots. She's not a harlot, she's a whore. Yeah. But her offspring are harlots. But it's a mystery. Anyway, we need to get on to the mysteries to the church. And let's start looking at those. We'll look first in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. How would you do that? By sharing and caring and loving and how do you renounce the hidden things of dishonesty? You rebuke it and you tell the truth. You see? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See? But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God... Oh, I thought Jesus was God. There he is again. The counterfeit. The God of this world, that's why you're not to love the world. Because if you do, you're going to love the wrong God. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What are we to do? We're to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We're to be a light and to preach and present the truth of God's words to people. Let them know the gospel. Proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Show them the cross. Show them what's necessary for salvation. Why? Because the God of this world is keeping them blinded. How could he do that? Well, because the church is a mystery. It's a mystery. You go ask a lost person who a real Christian is. Well, they're good people. Or, well, you know, they're just wrong on their politics. Or, well, they're just against, they're just deluded. Or what? They have a whatever idea might be. But isn't, oh, those are people that are saved by grace through faith. The world has no idea about that. You understand? It's a mystery. And the gospel of faith is a mystery. Look in Romans 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Why does Paul call it my gospel? Because God revealed it to Paul to reveal to the church. That's why we follow Paul. You understand that? It wasn't revealed to Peter. It wasn't revealed to James or John until afterwards. But it was first revealed to Paul to be revealed unto us. And what does he say his gospel is? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by NBC, CBS, and no, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of works. No, faith. See? Obedience of faith. What's the gospel? Believe. What if you don't believe? You go to hell. You disobeyed. It's still obedience that saves you. But it's obeying what God said to obey, which is the gospel. But to do that, you got to die. That's no fun. Remember how it was? Said, well, I don't really think it was. Then what took you so long? And why'd you fight against a free gift of eternal life? See? You know why. There was something that you knew you were going to have to let go of. Something you're going to have to give up. See? But that thing had to be revealed to you. And only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal it. Why? It's a mystery. That's why. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. That was the biggest problem with me in not getting saved, is because I didn't understand that mystery. I looked at Christianity and I said, there's no way I could live like that. That's what kept me. And the first time I was witness to, I was 18, and it sounded good, but I saw Christians, and I hadn't really been in a lot of churches, so I thought all Christians were just wonderful, upstanding, you know, good-hearted, fine people. I've been saved 19 years now, so I've learned a little better, but they're still the best bunch going. Amen. But I just had that idea that, man, I could never, you know, be that good or that holy, or you know what I mean? I could. And that's what kept me away from it for 7 years. And finally I said, all right, God, I'll try. Here I go. Still haven't gotten there yet, but Lord saved me anyway. Praise the Lord. Look here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. And for me, Paul asked prayer for him, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The gospel is a mystery. And it can only be revealed by God's Spirit. Look in Colossians chapter 2, after Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Remember, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Got it. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All right, what's the mystery there that he's making reference to? Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do we walk in Christ? By faith. How did we receive him? By faith. But it's a mystery. It's a mystery, see? And without God's Spirit, you won't get it. Chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know what you're doing when you're being a witness for Jesus Christ? You're revealing a mystery to people. That's your job. See? That's what you're doing when you're witnessing. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he's asking for prayer. How are you going to do that? Verse 5, you're going to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You're going to let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. See? You don't have to, you know, kick them between the legs. You don't have to knock them over the head. You can just talk with them and you have a conversation with them. Tell them about the Lord, but tell them the truth. But, you know, try and do it in a way where they're going to receive it. Use some sense. Use some wisdom. Amen? Jesus Christ, when he sent out his disciples, he said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. See? And that's how we're supposed to present the gospel. We're not supposed to come off, you know, beating somebody over the head. You can't compel them. It'd be nice to. I've been tempted on more than one occasion. Seriously. I mean, I just want to just, you know, if I cold cocked them right now, held him down for a little while, put my knee right in his gut, and just started banging his head against the ground and told him I wasn't going to stop until he got saved. You know? Peter Cartwright used to do that. He's a preacher. The old Methodist preacher. He used to do that. He did. He'd go up to the biggest, baddest guy in town and take him on and fight him. And then tell him if you give up, you got to get saved. And then win the whole town to Christ, you know. Amen. Well, that's, you know. He wasn't a Baptist, though. Amen. Let's try one more. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. And the idea here is concerning a qualification for a deacon. Verse 9, it says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So he has to have true assurance of the mystery himself and be able to reveal it to others. See? If he's going to be qualified to be a deacon. So we see that mystery of the gospel, the mystery of faith, that only can be revealed by God's Spirit, as all the mysteries can only be revealed by God's Spirit. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're already there in verse 16. We'll look at the second mystery, and the second mystery is the mystery of the incarnation, which simply means God became flesh. Jesus Christ was God. See? He wasn't a God. He was the God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who was? God. Who was Jesus Christ? He was God. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can somebody understand that without God's Spirit revealing it to them? No. No more than those Jews could that were standing right in front of them. You know who they were standing right in front of? Can you imagine that? And yet he showed up like any other man. They didn't even know he just, you know, he's veiled. And he shows up and they're trying to outsmart him. And trying to accuse him of sin. Can you imagine? Not realizing the one right in front of them was their Creator. Oh, I think they will. I think they'll have an inkling then. Yes. Whoops. Yeah, remember those guys that had the bag over his head punching him, saying, "Prophesy. Who is it that's punching you?" Can you imagine at the throne? Now, by the way, it was you and Bruno and Tony. Remember me? The one you put the bag over the... And they're standing... And you know what they're standing on? Nothing. There isn't anything to stand on. There's just God. And a lake of fire. Sure is good to be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." The only way that you can testify it with an honest heart that Jesus Christ is God is by the Holy Spirit. That's the test that John gives over there in 1 John. See? Say that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's what he's talking about, is a confession of the deity of Christ. And if you can't do it, it's because you don't have God's Spirit. You have the spirit of this world. You have the spirit of Antichrist. See? As all the cults do, that's why none of them can confess that Jesus is God. They cannot do it. No, they can't. They don't believe it. They can't see it. And to them, that's foolishness to even consider such a thing. Now hold your place there. I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2, one more. Now, I used this on a couple of Mormons one time. I had a field day. Buddy, I used this on them, and honest to God, I had them, they were sitting in chairs. I was sitting here, and they were sitting chair here and a chair here, kind of facing each other, and me talking to them in my living room. And I was talking to them, and they went on and on and on about that Jesus was a different God. And I said, "Well, that's, you say that because you don't have the Holy Spirit." And they said, "Well, we believe that Jesus is Lord." You ever see the bumper stickers? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." That's why when you want power behind something, when you cuss, you use his name. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Somebody said one time, you know, I'm at work and they're always using Jesus' name in vain. What do I do? Get down on your knees and just bow like that for a second and get back up every time they do it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, so I'm just trying to obey the Bible. You used his name. You're not yelling at him for cussing. See, you're not getting on him. You're just trying to be a Christian. Try it. It'll work wonders. You won't be bound that much after a while. But you do it in sincerity. You bow to Jesus Christ when you hear it. Yeah, that's right. But what he's talking about there, that's lost people. The judgment, everyone is going to bow. And confess what? Jesus is Lord. A lost person can confess that. What's the big deal? All these charismatics running around, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. What is that saying? That's the confession of a demon.
Yes.
Hello? That wasn't the confession of a Christian. The confession of a Christian, look back in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Why don't they put that in the bumper sticker? It's only three more letters. What's the problem?
Yeah.
But by the Holy Ghost. You say, what are you saying when you say that Jesus is the Lord? You're saying that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a big difference between saying Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Lord. You see, when I say the King James Bible is God's Word, or if I say the King James Bible is the Word of God, you understand the difference? It's a definite article. You leave no doubt that there is any other. That's the idea. And so the confession of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Why? It can only be revealed by God's Spirit that Jesus Christ is God. All right, the next one is the mystery here of the indwelling Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 5. Examine yourselves. This is a self-examination. See? You want to make sure everything's all right? Just once in a while do a little self-examination. Good thing to do. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. The only person that really knows for sure if you're saved is you when it gets right down to it, and the devil and God. Right? Now, other people want to know it by the way you live and act and everything. But some things can be... You can trick people. Brother Doyle was in church for a long time before he got saved. I mean, at least he says he got saved. I don't know. But who knows? Right? I mean, how are you going to know? Well, you got to go by someone's profession. You got to go by their testimony. But Jesus Christ said you'll know them by their fruit.
Yes.
See? You can't go by just what somebody says. You got to look for some fruit. But the idea in all that is you have to know yourself before anybody else is going to know. You have to get assurance of that thing. So he says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, how can anyone else? Right? That's what he's saying. So do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Right. How'd he get in? You invited him. Amen? And he ain't never turned anybody down yet. But you have to invite him in. When you invite him in, he comes in. And he comes in to stay. And he didn't come in to take up a place in the back in the family room. He wants the whole house. Everything. Kitchen, closets, everything. He wants it all. And he comes in there to clean house when he comes in. Amen. You know what he's doing in there? He's cleaning house. There's nothing wrong with that. It might take a while. You know? Did you ever get a place, rent a place that people were living in and then they weren't, and it was left for 6 months before anybody's in it, and you go in there and good night, this is going to take us a year just to get the place cleaned up and get it livable and all that? Well, listen, a lot of times when the Lord comes into our lives, especially if you get saved later on in life and all, it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while. He's going to have to do some scrubbing, some cleaning, and some vacuuming, and some, you know, maybe even get real spiritual and burn some incense or something to get the stench out. I don't know. But the idea is it's going to take a while to get all that cleaned up in the house. But he wants to live in a clean house, right? Just like you do, I hope. And so he comes in you to live in you and to abide in you. That's a mystery. Because how can you prove it? Well, you can tell people, right? You can live the Christian life and let Christ live through you. But how could you truly prove that? You can't. It's a mystery because there's nothing physical to see. See? And that's why the Bible calls it a mystery. It's the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Look in the book of Philemon. See how good you all find in books in the Bible now. It's after the T's. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Or as you may call it, Philemon. Philemon, verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? The communication of thy faith. What is that? The way that you conduct and live out your faith in your life may become effectual, have an effect on this world, on others, and on yourself. How? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. Well, the Bible says there's no good thing in you. That's why he says, well, in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus Christ that's in you that's good. And what we now want to do is go down into that good well of water and start bringing that up to a dry and thirsty land, to a thirsty world, and give them and offer them a fresh drink. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians 1:25. Whereof I am made a minister. All right, what are ministers supposed to do? Be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, right? I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you. Who were all these mysteries first given to? The Apostle Paul, to be given to us, the church. See? Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given me to you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages. Notice all these mysteries, they were there, but they were hidden until they're finally revealed to Paul, to be revealed to the church. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Who? To his saints only. You have to have God's Spirit, see? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ in you. It's a mystery, but that's why you know you're going to heaven. That's your hope of glory. Because guess, you know where Jesus Christ is. So if he's in you, where are you going to end up? Can't help it, man. Can't help it. If Jesus is in you, it's got to go back to Jesus up there as soon as it leaves his body. So you're going up. You can't help it. That's already taken care of. So that's the mystery of the indwelling Christ. So we've looked so far at the mystery of faith, mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the incarnation, that Jesus Christ is God, and the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Four more to go, and we'll look at those after we go ahead and take a short break. We'll break for some fellowship, bathroom break, opportunity to eat some munchies if there's any back there, and then we'll come in here, back on in here in about 10, 15 minutes and resume the study. Brother Will, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our fellowship and the food, please.